Alma chapter 45. In the first verse of this chapter, we see that the Nephites thank the Lord for their help with the Lamanites. And so the first battle with the Lamanites had worked in getting the people to turn to the Lord. The important thing is, how long do they stay turned to the Lord, and do they really then focus on the Lord for their whole lives, which we'll see that they do not. In verses 2 through 7, then we go off to see where Alma wants to talk specifically to Helaman, because we know that he's going to leave at that time, and he makes sure that Helaman believes in Christ and will follow Christ. And when he asks him if he'll follow Christ, he asks him if he'll follow Alma's, or he says, "Will you follow my words?" And many want to think and see that means that Alma was supposed to bend over the way then we're supposed to follow men. When the only point here is that leader after leader has made the disclaimer that obviously they are only delivering the words of Christ and they're not trying to bring men unto them. So therefore we don't have to continue to repeat this throughout Scripture that's what is being meant. And Alma has made it clear that he always preaches by prophecy and revelation, that he preaches by spirit, and that's what he does. And so it's not that he's talking his own words to Helaman. And we know this truly, because then in verse 8, then he says that he is going to be blessed or prospered in the land. Again, we see this constant kind of word that if you follow the Lord, you will prosper in the land. And this is what gets the goat of the enemies of God, that you're out there working, you're not participating in their great economy, but yet you're the ones that are prospering and doing well. And they don't like that. They want to have control over you then. But you will prosper no matter what the circumstances if you turn to the Lord. And again, we know that this is implying that Alma is obviously talking about following the commandments of Christ, because he would have no authority or no ability to prosper a Helaman in the land. Well, then in verse 9 through 14, he gives the prophecy of the destruction of the Nephites after Christ. Well, this is the same thing that we'd heard from Nephi. And notice that it is interesting that Alma did say that he is giving this by the spirit of revelation rather than prophecy, which means that all he's doing is revealing the same words, or verifying, if you want, the words that were given by Nephi. Maybe the better word is that he's magnifying the scripture given by Nephi. So then it turns and it says in verse 16, though, when can we, because we're not following the Lord, if anyone in any of the churches of today or the world thinks that we after reading this far in the Book of Mormon, has any concept that we've formed our governments, our churches, or anything according to Christ, and that we're centered on Christ, it's obvious that we're not anywhere near even the wicked. We're way below the wicked state of the Book of Mormon. So then it says, so therefore, when can we expect to have the cursings and the destructions as promised by God, and why hasn't it already came? And again, we're told in verse 16, we've been told in other places, it's when we are fully ripe. And that's what the Lord is waiting for in our day right now, is for us to be fully ripe. And then Alma in verse 17 blesses the church. We continue to hear this idea of church. We've seen it structured clearly in the past, in the previous portion of the Book of Mormon, that the church is a term that doesn't necessarily mean a big church, because they did not organize it as one big church. They organized a whole bunch of separate churches, and they were just united in their worship of Christ. So here again, he gives the definition of the church in verse 17. He says it's all those who should stand fast in the faith. And the faith of what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, it's the people. It is not an organization. It is not a building. It is not leaders of the Lord. It is the people who are the true followers of Christ. And that is all the church is, and it is nothing else. Well, then Alma departs under the Lord, and he leaves, and it was supposed that he went under the Lord. And so after he leaves, was never seen again, then Helaman takes over, and his brethren go forth to then preach the word among the people, because again, this war with the Lamanites really didn't clear everything up. The people just turned to the Lord for a time, but it wasn't a real strong turning back to the Lord. And so there began a little dissensions amongst the people and problems again, because obviously they are back to this to desiring their riches, desiring the power and positions in the church, and want them for power, not just to teach the people, and they desire to receive the praise and glory of man. They want all the things that the devil has, and they start to argue and dissent over why they should have a right to receive these things. Well, it says in it said that the Helaman and his brethren go about, and this is verse 22, go about to establish the church again. Now, again, we begin to get this feeling that what is the church? The church is establishing or collecting and bringing together the true followers of Christ. That's what it is. It's not it's not this concept that, oh, we have a stake here and we've got the church all with all these different stakes and we've got this organization. That's Babylonian. That's of man. Man likes to have this structure and make it up. All that they were doing was continuing to gather together the followers of Christ into one area, or into one place, or gathering those in a specific area together, and then they would appoint new priests and teachers over those people, and so then when they did in that area, they'd go to another, and now that area would have a church. And it wasn't then dominated by Helaman and his brethren, as we see here. We have the feeling. And it says again in the end of verse 22 that they established churches. So there was a church here and a church there. And all the church was is a gathering of the followers of Christ. Well, immediately then, the leaders of these churches do not really want to follow Christ. They want to follow themselves. They want to have the power. So dissension begins. The reason for the dissension here given is that they cared about riches. And we have to ask ourselves, isn't that obvious today? Is there the entire motivation of our church leaders in our church today is to be big businessmen and men who have become rich through again being lawyers, salesmen, and businessmen and doctors and so forth, all these ways that they can become rich, and these are the ones that have dominated the leader of a church, but they're not men who have devoted their lives to Christ and trying to follow Christ and can therefore be an example to you. And again, we can see that we're in far worse shape than has been given here. And so therefore we can expect destruction to come, as we can expect these are people in the Book of Mormon in the future chapters are going to begin to have problems and have destruction come unto them.